I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
No doubt about it.
Things are crazy right now.
Just read a paper.
On second thought, don't.
You're listening to something
rock solid.
Something to depend on.
Believe in.
Expert information on gaming.
Arts.
And more.
This
is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Welcome back into the early line. This is hour number two right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Monday morning. And we have to get to the wonderful world of college football, which continues to deliver monster chaos week in and week out. And we saw this week the Oklahoma Sooners drop their first game, but in a disastrous way that very well could end their season. Caleb Williams, who hand up, I thought was not only the savior of OU, warranted this team being not only inside the top four, but perhaps second in a ranking. I thought this guy might win a Heisman in half a year. He barely played half this game. Caleb Williams benched for Spencer Rattler. The good thing about Spence is at least he came in and said, yeah, it wasn't actually a mistake that you benched me. I'm still also pretty bad. Donnie, Oklahoma, I don't know if this team has a quarterback right now. Caleb Williams has been awful on the road when you consider the game against Kansas. They were shut out in the first half. I don't know what you do for OU here. They just lost by nearly two touchdowns at Baylor.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for them. I watched that game entirely all the way through, and you were just waiting, Kevin, for the Oklahoma Sooners to do something, and they couldn't do anything. Bohannon was sensational on the opposite side for Baylor, but getting back to Oklahoma all the way through, isn't this what we were looking for, Kevin? Isn't this what we thought was going to happen? And if you remember me joking around in that Texas game, if Spencer Rattler could have made it through, hey, look at this, Kansas, TCU, Texas Tech, I'm going to pad my stats, I'm going to get back into the Heisman race, we're going to be a good football team. And he didn't get the chance to do that. So young Caleb Williams goes in and dominates in those games. And then you run up on a top 15 program or top 20 program on the road, and you look terrible doing it. And you look so bad that Spencer Rattler had to come in. Now, this game might have been a little bit different here because I did agree with the move, because I don't want to call their passing game rudimentary with Caleb Williams in the game. But it wasn't doing anything. He wasn't making the proper reads, throws, and looked like he was just waiting to buying his time in the pocket to see if he could take off and run. Spencer Rattler came into the football game, threw a deep shot on his first play, which almost was a miraculous catch about 50 yards down the field, but should have been called pass interference and wasn't. They actually went three and out on that drive, and it didn't get any better at any time here. Tough loss for Oklahoma. To me, probably knocks them out of the national championship picture altogether now.
It is the first time under Lincoln Riley they lost the game where they gave up under 30 points. All of the losing efforts under Lincoln Riley, they have been able to score, or they've given up way more points than that. In fact, it's the first time since 2015 where they held an opponent under that mark and lost the game. It really, the story of OU's season has been that apparently Lincoln Riley cannot make magic of every single quarterback under the sun. Again, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, both number one overall picks. Jalen Hurts, the man right now in Philadelphia, and the Birds getting the job done. I'm just, a lot of NFL talent that's come through those doors, Donnie. And that's not a shot at Lincoln. He's got a lot to do with that here. But Caleb is very young, and Rattler seemingly just can't get the job done. Another monster result this week overall, DRS, is Michigan beating Penn State here. And for a while,
It looked like Harbaugh was going to drop another big-time game. They were trailing in this one with 5 minutes left in the football game here, but they win this one 21-17 in about a pick'em spread here as the radio audience enters the fold. Appreciate all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, recapping the college football board from the weekend here. Donnie, Michigan, though, it's a big-time win.
Big time win and a short crossing pattern to a tight end that turns out to be the game defining play in the fourth quarter. That's Michigan football. That's holding close here. Penn State, to me, over the better part of that day, was the better football team, but just not able to hold on and make big plays when it counted, including at the end of the football game to get a strip sack fumble instead of punching in for a touchdown to kick a field goal. And that ultimately led you to your demise. But also now take a look at Michigan back in the national championship picture. If you were a Cincinnati Bearcat backer here and hoping they get in the playoffs, you were rooting against the Michigan Wolverines in this game, but a nice win on the road. If you take a look at what's coming up here for Michigan at Maryland on the road, they should be able to handle that easily. And then they have that showdown with OSU, because if you take a look at the Michigan Wolverines, OSU, that game is at home in the Big House. If they can take care of their business in that game, Is Michigan headed to the college football playoff here? Wow.
It would certainly be impressive, though I have my doubts, because Ohio State, yeah, Donnie, is home to the new Heisman favorite. C.J. Stroud and the Ohio State Buckeyes beat Purdue 59-31. Stroud throws for 361 yards and 5 touchdowns and has now leapfrogged Bryce Young as the favorite in this market.
And rightfully so here. Look at the Ohio State Buckeyes here, Kevin. Winners over a top 20 team in Penn State, top 20 team here in Purdue. They're going to face a top 10 football team next week in Michigan State and also a top 10 team in Michigan. Is this not the blueprint for running the table, getting into the college football playoff, and a Heisman Trophy winner? Here you go, Ohio State. It's what you've been waiting for.
Bryce Young, 21 of 23, 270 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a half a football. Nick Saban doesn't care, though, because he scheduled New Mexico State. And I'm glad that everybody knows that that performance against New Mexico State means absolutely nothing. The interesting thing, though, about this award, it feels like Young and Stroud have to run the table in order to win the Heisman. Value maybe just opened up on a Bryce Young. We'll see as the week continues. Up next, though, let's get a little NBA preview in your lives.
Sports Rage Late Night.
Do you really believe that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have the same damn attitude playing with Matt Stafford, playing with Sean McVay, playing with Robert Woods, playing with Cooper Kupp, playing in Los Angeles? He's going to be fine in Los Angeles, and Matt Stafford and McVay are going to know how to keep him happy, and it's pretty simple. You just get him a damn touchdown.
It's Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid. Weekdays, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, on the home of the Winning Edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network. Opinions. Everybody's got one. You know the rest. The trick is finding one that's actually backed up by expert analysis and accurate information. The word is trust. And we've got plenty of it to go around. Get the Winning Edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
As we are live with you on this Monday morning, of course, we'll be following this action on In Play Sports tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Myself and Donnie Wrightside will take you through it. I'm sure Donnie will be looking for some three-point prop parlays. Donnie, the momentum carried into the weekend, I saw.
Oh, it was fantastic stuff. Nice little 4-1 on a Saturday. Who said college football is the only thing you could bet on Saturdays? Apparently, the NBA is popping with three-pointers on the weekend. We'll see if it continues on a Monday night, Kevin.
No doubt about it. Also a big game, though, tonight will be the Los Angeles Lakers against the Chicago Bulls. Both of these teams were in action yesterday. Both of these teams won their respective games yesterday, Donnie. The Lakers are one-point favorites here. The total for this basketball game is 219. If the Bulls can get a back-to-back sweep at the Staples Center, that would be incredibly impressive for the Lakers. This would maybe be their biggest win of the season, Donnie, if they could come away with one here against the Bulls.
Yeah, we're usually taking a look saying, now, wait a second here. You look at the over-under, 218.5. We're just going to take a stone-cold under because both of these teams are off on back-to-backs here. But both of these teams didn't leave the city of Los Angeles here for the back-to-back. So you're going to take a look at a Bulls-Lakers game, and you're right. You know, sitting on a Bulls ticket just to make the playoffs, every single win counts. And this would be a nice one. Also getting a back-to-back victory over the LA teams equally as nice. Let's also keep in mind LeBron James not going to play in this basketball game. So it's one that you can sort of get away with here and work around. Now, from a Bulls perspective, Zach LaVine yesterday torching from three-point range. Could use that last week, Zach, in one of my three-point player props. But hey, as long as you guys are doing damage here, sitting at 9-4 on the season, look, the Lakers a slight favorite in this game. I might have to go Bulls here, Kev. Might have to go Bulls.
I think the side is difficult overall, but I think there is a prop absolutely worth it tonight, and it is Anthony Davis over 26.5 points. Now, there are narratives in the NBA, and sometimes narratives are very, very simple. But they're not always true, right? Steph just went to Charlotte last night. Just because he's from the area doesn't mean he automatically scores 30 points. Anthony Davis consistently dominates the Chicago Bulls. Since 2016, he has played this team six times. He has scored 27 or more points five of the six times. In fact, he scored 30-plus in four of those six games. Heck, Donnie, he once gave him 37 in a preseason game during that stretch. Anthony Davis loves playing himself the Chicago Bulls. For those that don't know, he's a Chicago kid. AD is coming off of a game yesterday where he scored 34 against the San Antonio Spurs. And if there is worry about it being the second leg of a back-to-back, AD has already played this season on the second leg of a back-to-back. It was coming off of a game against the San Antonio Spurs. And in fact, they were in overtime. They played the Thunder. He scored 30. I think Anthony Davis, Donnie, over 27.5 points or 26.5 points is a good look. And I wouldn't even be mad at the plus money of plus 168 for him to score 30 in this basketball game. Should be a fun one tonight. Probably your best game on the slate. Another good game, though, Donnie, here between the Knicks and the Pacers. It feels like two teams at the moment maybe going a little bit in opposite directions here. The Knicks, it's early season still, of course, but still, the Knicks, Donnie, have lost three of their last four games. Indiana winning three of their last four. The Knicks are always on, Donnie, while you and I are doing in-play sports tonight, and they have now found themselves in the weirdest games I can ever remember where their starters, all of a sudden in the second half, get ran off the court. The bench unit comes in, a fresh five. They dominate the game to a point where Thibodeau says, I can't take them out. They run out of gas, and the Knicks end up losing. Tonight, the Knicks are three-point favorites against the Pacers.
Yeah, back home at the Garden, you would say to yourself, okay, the Knicks are 7-6 on the season, so sign me up for that. But not so fast, as you pointed out. Opened up the season winners of five of the first six games, but as you pointed out, losers of three of the last four. The victory over the Sixers, that came with the Sixers being incredibly banged up. And then I believe also the loss against the Bucks, which was 112-100, even had no Giannis in that ball game. So certainly stumbling out of the gates here. And you're right, the Indiana Pacers heating up a bit here. Is this one of those where we come back on? But your point is well taken. When we're taking a look at props and betting markets and, you know, who do you think is going to play? Like, what we had so much fun early in the season. The Julius Randle double-double. Why? Because we're joking around. No matter if it was a 20-point lead with 4 minutes ago or a 20-point deficit, the starters were playing. Julius Randle was getting major minutes. Now, all of a sudden, you're trying to say, okay, if I want some three-point props, well, am I getting the usual 30-plus minutes out of my starters? Or is this going to be one of those games where Tom Thibodeau said last week, we have to figure out what's going on here, and, you know, we're going to change up some of the rotations. And the joke that we keep making is, the minute Derrick Rose comes into the game, and if his first three ball goes down, you don't see Kemba Walker the rest of the time. Emmanuel Quickley as well. The bench seems to be getting them invigoration during the games, but usually, Kevin, you take the starters, you put them in, they're not playing too well, the backups come in, that fires up the starters so they play better. Not the case so far for the Knicks, so late treading here if we're looking at three-point play props, at least from my perspective, in this game, Kev.
It's so fat. Like, we started joking the other day on an in-play sports tonight. Kemba Walker played like the best quarter of his life, it felt like, to open the game. Eventually, you cool off. Derrick Rose came in, hit a three. Emmanuel Quickley followed it up with a three. And Donnie and I sat and waited for them to reopen Kemba's props so we could live bet unders. They never reopened. Because, like, well, Kemba's not going to come back into this game. And it was basically true. Like, Kemba, I think, maybe came out like 2 minutes left in the game. This is just, the Knicks are playing some very, very odd basketball right now. Some of the recent trends suggest that the Pacers are in a good spot here, playing much better, Donnie, kind of getting healthier. Caris LeVert, Malcolm Brogdon entering the fray here. Interesting game tonight between the Nuggets and the Mavericks. Dallas at home. They are 4.5-point favorites. Denver on the second leg of a back-to-back. They just blasted a Blazers team that at this point might consider forfeiting their road games. My goodness, 124-95 was that final score here. What do you think of Mavs? Donnie, man, I still can't get adjusted to some of these Denver totals that check in at 210, 209.
Yeah, slowing it down here, and you take a look last night, you know, no Jokic, with Jokic, you know, back-to-backs, doesn't matter, it's five straight Ws here for the Nuggets, it's 9-4 now on the season, but maybe some of those key indicators where you have that huge home court advantage typically in Denver with the elevation when you go on the road, obviously you don't have that. They are sitting at 2-3 on the road this year, but also taking a look at the Dallas Mavericks coming into this game, Kevin, 5-1 on their home court, Dallas as a slight favorite here. Maybe looking to lean Michael Porter Jr., probably not going to play in this game as well. Hey, if you're back-to-back games and I'm going to a team that plays well at home, probably looking for me more towards the Mavericks than in this game, Kevin.
We've seen the Nuggets, Donnie, have so far two back-to-backs to open this season. They have not covered in the first quarter of either of those games, which is interesting because typically we'd say, ah, let me back them early and then maybe they'll kind of taper off down the back stretch there. But maybe Denver a little conservative coming out of the gates there overall. We'll see how this game plays out. Again, a Mavericks team that's 8-4. We talk about that bet for this team to make the play-in. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do when the Mavericks play. I simply see their results and I think, sure. One team, though, that I do know I root for every night, the Toronto Raptors. And, well, they're in a spot that I prefer them in, which is on the road this season. Just win at home. Like, they lost to the Pistons at home. They gave up 127. What is this team? Why can they not win in Toronto? I don't understand. They're 5-1 on the road, though, Donnie. The Blazers, though, a great home team overall. It's a shame, Donnie, this is a late one. This feels like a great game for a three-point player prop parlay.
Yeah, we'll see if Damian Lillard plays tonight. Skipped the game yesterday. So the Raptors coming in. You're right. Look at that. Two teams clashing. 5-1 on the road versus 5-1 at home. Dare I say, Kevin, I'll root for you tonight. I actually do think the Raptors can go into Portland tonight and grab a W here.
I think a Raptors team total will be worth the look. Their offense has been very good on the road. They've just been doing enough realistically for their last five or six games or so, and we've talked about this for a while now. Fading the Blazers' defense is one of those things that you can do very calmly throughout the NBA season. Come right back here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Transitioning back to the NFL, a couple of more games that we have to get to here. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Falcons. All right, that's enough about that game here. Let's talk about, we'll get back to the Cowboys. Don't worry about it. There was a tie. Lions-Steelers. Donnie, is there a game that deserved a tie more than this one in the history of the NFL? I mean, the Steelers are so useless as a favorite. It is insane. Detroit, though, basically, like, listen, no one will ever go 0-17. That's too many games to lose. But 0-16-1, still in the cards, Donnie.
Yeah, still in the cards yesterday. As I watched the game go to overtime yesterday, I'm saying to myself, because as you guys know, like, I like to put a lot of my bets out here. Took a small wager on going 0-17, which is the key number here for Detroit, and then trying to pair that up with Detroit will get their first victory of the season in game 17 versus the Green Bay Packers at home. So yesterday, as the game went to overtime, I said to myself, oh, man, they can't just – Don't lose the game here, Pittsburgh, right? Just tie them up and I'll keep it. And then I said, no. It was 0-17 not to go winless for the season. So I did end up losing that small wager there. But yes, yesterday, 16. I got to tell you, Kevin, I'm watching this game in overtime. There was a point in this game where, well, I don't know, it was maybe 2 minutes ago in overtime. The rain is pouring down. And every time Mason Rudolph dropped back to pass, I'm saying to myself, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm handing the football up the middle and just taking this as a tie here, because I was just waiting for the late interception to come over every flutter pass that Mason Rudolph had. Keep in mind, we laugh at the Pittsburgh Steelers offense because they make Big Ben throw the ball way too much and he has a pop gun arm. In the rain, Mason Rudolph threw 50 times in this football game. 50 times. Najee Harris got 26 carries for 105. This was a terrible game from start to finish. Even though Pittsburgh jumped out early to the 7-0 lead, they were so lucky they didn't lose this game versus the Lions, who had Jared Goff in overtime throw for 114 total yards.
Let me just say this, okay, on the Steelers. They have yet to cover as a favorite. The Lions were, for me, when Big Ben was supposed to play, it was 8.5. I thought they were the best dog on the board in terms of taking the points overall. My portion of the tag team, Deezer, did its part. You hate to see that for DRS, but at the end of the day, it was going to be one of us. I'm glad it was him and not me. Mason Rudolph went 30 of 50 for 242, a touchdown and a pick. Honestly, Donnie, that sounds like what Big Ben would have done in this game anyway. Like, I don't want to hear, oh, we would have won if Big Ben played. I don't care. I truly don't. Here's the thing on the Lions, though. Jared Goff threw for 114 yards. Over half of those came in overtime. Like, they got to overtime, and he had 54 yards passing. Donnie, like, if they cut him next year, it would be $30 million in dead cap. Goff is going to be on this roster. The Lions are almost assuredly going to have the number one overall pick. I mean, I guess they can let whomever that would be the, you know, sit behind a Jared Goff. We've talked about it. Like, the crop of quarterbacks isn't great. I just feel like a dream world for the Lions was going to be to let Goff start two seasons and sell their fan base on, we got to fill out the roster. Goff is good enough. I don't think Lions fans can sit through another 20-plus games of Jared Goff at quarterback.
No, I don't think they can either. And yesterday, the funny part is Dan Campbell actually took over play calling duties, and the play calling looked exactly the same. Let's throw wide receiver screen, check down, check down, check down, wide receiver screen. Let me give you a hint here in the NFL. Spacing is the key issue. So even if you don't have the wide receivers that can dominate, because they clearly don't have it, you send out four wide receivers, you know, twins left, twins right, and you send them all on streaks three or four times a game. You say, Jared, I don't care what the read is. I don't care if it's triple coverage. You will launch a ball 50 yards downfield to show that, hey, we have this in our arsenal. I will never understand week after week after week that you just watch this Detroit Lions offense and nobody goes deep. Now, you could say we're calling these plays and Jared is refusing to throw the football. Well, what is he still doing as your starting quarterback at this point? You have zero wins on the season, and he is the primary reason why you have zero wins. You go on the road to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your defense gives up 16 points, and you can't win this football game. And it wasn't even, Kevin, that Jared Goff went, you know, 30 of 50 like Mason Rudolph did for, let's just say, 322 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Ah, yeah, quarterback gave it his all. He's not even giving you a chance. Your best play in this was to hand it off all game long and say, boy, the Pittsburgh Steelers can't tackle. This is our best play call. You can't have a quarterback that doesn't utilize the entire field. Short passes, intermediate passes, deep passes. It's ineffective here. They're not going to win a football game this year.
They are very, very bad. Moving over, Donnie, to this game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Denver Broncos. Listen now, okay? Over the last 3 weeks, the Philadelphia Eagles are arguably the best offense in the NFL. They are number one in EPA per drive, points per drive, touchdowns per drive, and scoring the second most points per game. They hung a 30 spot here on the road in Denver. They are maybe the NFL's most consistent offense right now, Donnie. They have scored at least 21 points in 8 straight weeks and 9 of their 10 football games here. Jalen Hurts with another good game, and the ground game is just dominant right now. 214 total yards rushing, 40 attempts for this offense, Donnie.
The Eagles are 4-6 on the season right now. They have the easy part of the schedule coming up. Their team total entering into the season, Kevin, was 6.5. They are above pace of that, so they should be able to get that number. The best thing, you read through the Twitter sphere and social media, Nick Sirianni's a terrible coach. Why'd they hire him? He's dumb. You know, he wears T-shirts. He's trying to, be likable to the fans. You know what's likable to the fans? Recognizing something that you're not doing right and correcting it here. Dropping Jalen Hurts back 45 times in a game was not a recipe for success. They completely turned that around and said, you know what? We're going to go old school football. Jalen Hurts, read options here where we can use his legs as he gained 53 yards in this game here. He's going to be able to make timely throws to wide receivers down the field, which he did that yesterday. Devontae Smith with an incredible touchdown catch. Also keep in mind yesterday, one of the bigger ingredients in the Philadelphia Eagles offense is Dallas Goedert. Catches a 24-yard pass, gets absolutely helmet-to-helmet rocked, and leaves the game with a concussion. No flag on that play when they call the flags on, throw the flags on everything here. That was a great win by the Eagles. 30-17 and decisive. They did enough on defense here to frustrate the Denver Broncos, particularly on third downs, forcing turnovers when they needed to, and getting the key plays in particularly, excuse me, Kevin, on special teams with a 22-yard blocked field goal. The Eagles are a decent football team. And finally, Kevin, that was a 5-4 Denver Broncos team coming into that game. Mm-hmm. How many times do we say in the past the Eagles are very good against underwhelming teams, but seemingly those above-average football teams they can't handle? They handled one this week, and again next week. All those times this year we say, boy, the Eagles get so much respect on the line. Yesterday was deserved. You know what's going to take place next week when they play the Saints, another decent football team? The Eagles are going to get a lot of respect on that line and probably finish as favorites in that game in Philadelphia.
Looking right now, Donnie, the Eagles are favorites in that game. There and that go. Might be a very consistent trend as they finish out their season. Home against the Saints, at the Giants, at the Jets, home versus Washington, home versus the Giants, at Washington. Their last game of the season is home against the Cowboys, who maybe will have nothing to play for. It is not out of bounds to say the Eagles will be favorites the rest of their way. The Eagles are live to make the playoffs because somebody has to fill out the NFC. And honestly, Donnie, as we look right now at this Saints team here, who are the sixth spot in the NFC, if the Eagles beat them, that group could be vulnerable here. The Eagles have a monster opportunity next week, but the way they are playing, they deserve to be favorites in that one. We'll see if they can actually seal the deal and transition into more of a legitimate contender. I anxiously await the make-miss playoff markets, really for the entire league. Like 32-team league, Donnie, I would say about 20 teams will have fascinating odds for make-miss playoff markets coming into the season. Another team that probably will be the Atlanta Falcons, who are 4-5. The Cowboys just beat this team by 40. 43-3. I'm almost conflicted, Donnie, on who's the story here more, to be totally honest with you. Like, it's the Cowboys, America's team. They put up 43 points. They should always be the story in a game like this. But 9-21 for Matt Ryan, no touchdowns and 2 picks. What an unacceptable performance from the Atlanta Falcons here. They scored 3 points on their opening drive and proceeded to be shut out the rest of the way against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they lost by 40 points in this game, in a game that Dak Prescott didn't throw for over 300 yards. And if you looked at the combined rushing for Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, 42 yards, 41 yards, which equates to 83 yards, you'd probably say Atlanta was in this most of the way. They were out of it right away. They were embarrassed all the way through. Now, one key thing that came up in this game that I want to talk about early, and I guess it proved right for the Atlanta Falcons, but boy, it was interesting to watch. If you are a team total better, if you are an overbacker in this game, you take a look at the Atlanta Falcons early in the first half.
Oh, my gosh.
They went for a 4th-and-7 when you have a pretty good kicker in Koo in a dome. They ended up not getting it here, and I scratched my head. And after that, that momentum sort of took it away and went to Dallas's perspective. But at the same time, if you're looking at Arthur Smith and you say, I know now why he went for that, Kevin, because field goals were not going to win this game versus the Dallas Cowboys. But this is the new age in gambling here where you always take the field goal. That's no longer the case in the NFL, Kevin. Wild stuff here. Three out of the Falcons. Three. That's embarrassing.
But, Donnie, do you know that on their opening drive,
yes,
they kicked a field goal on 4th and 7, but they were at the Dallas 18. They on 4th and 7 at the Dallas 32, they went for it. They thought field goals were enough on the opening drive, and then Dallas punted, and they went, yeah, never mind, field goals aren't enough. What? I don't know what that was. Look, give Dallas credit. They absolutely blasted these turkeys. You knew they had to bounce back after that game against Denver. Let's get some Monday Night Football in your lives after the break.
Sports professor Rick Haro inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your Sports News Minute. Well, we've said many times, as far as gambling is concerned, that maybe 40 or 45 states will have enacted laws in the next 2 or 3 years. Even ones that are dead set opposed to it. Why? You look to your left, you look to your right in your state, you see all the money coming in, including places that have taken money from citizens of your state going next door, teachers, roads, infrastructure, everything, and here's the time to do it. Ohio, the latest example. A lot of rhetoric against gambling, but now they have legislation that's 90% complete that talks about over 25 licenses, 70 establishments generating as much revenue as they possibly can. And why? Well, the Browns, the Bengals, the Cavaliers, all the pro sports franchises in that state lobbying for it where they were lobbying against it a few years ago. What an amazing world. Sports Professor Rick Haro, Sports News Minute.
When you need to know something, you trust someone who's been right on the money before. That's where we come in.
That's what we do.
But we just call it the winning edge to save time. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Your Monday Night Football preview is right around the corner. It features two teams in the NFC West, the Rams and the Niners. But the team on top of that division right now is the Arizona Cardinals. And I want to quickly mention their game against the Carolina Panthers, Donnie, from both sides of the coin here. We'll start on the Carolina side. 34-10, bang 500. Cam Newton accounts for 2 touchdowns in his return. Listen, that's a lot of momentum for a Carolina team here, Donnie, that they just didn't have any of it, feels like, entering this week.
You're right. And also, let's go big picture here on the Carolina Panthers. It's a good win. I like Matt Rhule. The minute he was signed up here with the Carolina Panthers, I was like, man, this guy knows how to build a foundation. Goes to Baylor and does it and starts at a Temple, which you see how it's struggling Temple is doing now. He is a fantastic coach. If there's one guy that can get a franchise a little bit down on his luck back, it would be him. Now, we, you know, looking at college football, we said the Oklahoma 3-game stretch, Caleb Williams, he can really build his resume. Let's take a look at Cam Newton's landing spot here for the Carolina Panthers, Kevin, over the next couple weeks. The Washington football team at the Dolphins, and then the Falcons. You have chances to get, you know, you don't have to open your whole playbook next week, but you can beat Washington. You don't have to open the playbook even more there against the Miami Dolphins. You can beat them. You get the Falcons at home, which we see like what they were yesterday, basically rudderless at this point. But then heading down that backstretch here, at the Bills, Buccaneers, at the Saints, at the Buccaneers. It's going to get tough. But if you are Cam Newton, you want these easier games so Matt Rhule can put you in, gain confidence. So maybe that you pick up a couple wins. Let's just say you don't win them all, right? 2 out of the next 3 here. That sets you up for the back end of the season, which is really tough. It's going to be fun to watch it play out because, to me, you had to sign Cam Newton if you're the Panthers. Why? You had nobody else. P.J. Walker actually had a pretty good game yesterday. Obviously, we know he's not going to be the starter moving forward. They paid Cam Newton to do that. I don't know how effective Cam Newton is going to be, but I'm going to say over the next 3 weeks, if he looks like a decent NFL quarterback, they're going to be in the race here for that final playoff spot.
You know, Donnie, when you go through those 3 games, people might think, wait, did we find an easy NFL schedule? The last 4. At Buffalo, home versus the Bucs, at the Saints, at the Bucs. They better win all three of those games. Let me tell you that right now, okay? If this team is going to have a chance to get into the postseason, I think it has to be 3-0, Don. I really do. If it's 1-2, they might as well just keep, you know, ex Jake Delhomme if he wants to come back and play quarterback. It makes no difference then at that point for Carolina. On the Arizona side, you were 1-1 with Colt McCoy at quarterback. I think you take that. The thing is, the one you should have won was this one here. You had a good chance at 2-0. I get it. It's Colt McCoy. So it is what it is. It's a very good Carolina defense overall. So fair play. What's the temperature, though, here, Donnie, on Arizona, as they've lost a little bit of their wiggle room now that they had atop the NFC and the NFC West?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of arrogance. And why I say that is you're heading into this game 8-1. Now you start to feel yourself like, look, man, I don't even need my best wideout. Don't even need my starting quarterback. We're good. And, oh, yeah, the Carolina Panthers are coming to town with P.J. Walker at quarterback. We can do the same thing here and get away with it. And they got their doors blown off in the first half, and it was never close here. 34-10, 24-point victory. I watched the majority of this game here. Colt McCoy was terrible in this one, so it's sort of a wake-up call back to the foundation of the team. But also, you did get an extra week for Kyler Murray to get healthy. He is going to be the key. You didn't risk your wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, going back out there when he was banged up weeks ago with that hamstring injury, re-injured a little bit. So you did get that rest time. You're still 8-2, so there's no panic here. But I think that was one of those where Carolina Panthers are coming to town. We are at home. We just won with Colt McCoy. We'll win again here, and we'll buy an extra couple weeks for some of our superstar players to get back into the fold. I take way more out of this game for the Carolina Panthers, who were basically a double-digit underdog on the road and came away with a 24-point victory. Good win for the Panthers. Bad win for the Cardinals, but if we put this in perspective here, they're still 8-2, and it wasn't as if you would have felt much worse here if you played DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray and got beat by 24, and maybe one of those two guys re-injured themselves and were out longer there. So things are still on the horizon here for the Arizona Cardinals. Tough loss for them, but a bigger win for the Carolina Panthers.
I agree 100%. I do think it's tough, though, for this team to be 7-0 and now sit here at 8-2 with those two losses coming to P.J. Walker and a Packers team that had no wide receivers. Being 10-0 is not a fair ask, but they were 7-0, and they had a lot of opportunity in front of them. No longer the number one seed in the NFC, and if the Rams get the job done tonight on Monday Night Football, they'll have the same record. Well, will the Rams get the job done here on Monday Night Football? Favorite to do so. 3.5-point favorite. Donnie, the total here is 50.5. The Rams enter this game 4-0 on the road. The Niners enter this game 0-4 at home.
Yeah, good game here setting up on the card as well. So if we're looking from prop bets perspective, this is one of the game that's much more enticing than last time when we were doing a Monday Night Football game. You had the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Bears. You didn't think you'd get very many fireworks, but yet here you are getting some fireworks. But the takeaway of this, right, we're taking a look. The Rams are a good football team. The 49ers have the talent to be a good football team, Kevin, but just haven't shown it yet. So Rams 7-2, San Francisco 49ers 3-5. The question mark for me is, what are we getting out of Jimmy Garoppolo in this game? Can he step up? Can he be a competitor in this game? Can he lead them to victory? Now, they are at home. And also keep in mind from a Rams perspective, a little bit of a downtrodden week where you got so fired up by getting Odell Beckham Jr. on your team to add to Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp at wide receiver. Friday's practice, a little bit of an injury news come out. Didn't think too much of it. Turns out to be an ACL injury for Bobby Trees, as Kevin would like to say. Now you're looking for Odell Beckham to step into that two role as opposed to be that third option and work your way back in. Might not be a bad thing for Odell Beckham Jr., but I think from a Rams perspective, you wanted all three of these wide receivers to be healthy at the same time. Not going to be the case, but also keep in mind as well, Von Miller expected to play tonight on that defensive line. They should be getting after San Francisco and getting after them early. Two teams right here lining up on Monday Night Football. Some of the best play callers you're going to see go head-to-head. So no matter how good those defenses are, those guys are going to be able to dial up plays that work. It's just a matter of execution here tonight on both sides.
And I think it makes the total very interesting, Donnie. We've seen the Niners play three consecutive overs on the season at home. It's 3-1 overall to that over. Considering they've not covered at home, they've been giving up a lot of those team totals, Donnie, at home this season. And The Rams are a team that travel very well. We've seen that when it comes to the Rams right now. The interesting thing about this Niners group, though, it's only the second times that they have been underdogs this season. The Niners, it's Chiefs-esque in that it's like, ah, well, this will be the Niners' week. And maybe the schedule's been light for them, Donnie. And that, like, people, I guess, can't quit the Niners squad here. They're just often booked in a solid spot. Overall, 3.5 here, though, I still think is a line that shows respect to San Francisco. Maybe a little bit of shine taken off of the Rams with that bad, bad Sunday night game against the Tennessee Titans here. But I think that spread is a little difficult to navigate. I do think there will be some points, though, in this game, which, of course, sets up wonderfully for in-play. Man, I get excited for in-play sports tonight. Match specials. I mean, a total of 50.5. What more could you? I'm so mad that we didn't get Chiefs Raiders for an in-play sports tonight evening. Yes. Because, folks, there's quite not literally every single one of the regular ones that Donnie and I line up came home last night. Touchdown every quarter. Donnie's favorite. A touchdown by each quarterback in each half. And I sent it out to the good people, of course. The quarterbacks to combine for 500 yards and 4 touchdown passes. Mahomes flirted with it himself, 400 yards and 5 touchdown passes here. But Donnie, as we transition to the props market, there is a number that I absolutely must bring up. Donnie and I have joked a couple of times in the past about trap touchdown numbers. Now, I hate when I, Donnie, can identify a trap and then still jump in headfirst. But come on now with the Odell plus 240 to score a touchdown here, DRS. How are you not getting a taste of this guy to get into the end zone here, Donnie?
And doesn't it just increase as well? Because he's going to get a little bit more playing time than what you would have thought, because yes. Robert Woods is not going to be in this game. And you're seeing like a starter for the Rams, which you say, hey, so-and-so. I'm going to call him so-and-so right now because it popped up a few times. And I don't even know the guy's name or even paid attention much to the number 2 wide receiver on the Rams at this point. And that shows how crazy it is. You would think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have a couple of packages put in for him, particularly in the red zone, where it's like, hey, you're the number one guy here. Just run this route. We'll see if we can get you the football, because on the biggest stage, you want to make this guy happy. There's a little bit going on in the back room saying, hey, look, we've seen Odell Beckham Jr. in New York. We've seen him in Cleveland. If you get the football to the guy and he's happy, he is going to put on a show. They're going to throw him a couple deep shots in this game and also maybe a red zone targeted. So not a bad look here, but it makes sense. It's almost like one of those principal plays, right? Odell is going to play in a big role on Monday Night Football on a national stage to show Cleveland what they lost in letting him go. Sounds about right to me.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, maybe if you want to lessen the blow, take so-and-so to scratch, so rude, to score a touchdown as well. Ben Skowronek, he's plus 270. I mean, I think, listen, I'll tell you this, though. I guarantee you by tonight, Donnie will not only know how to say his name, but he'll know how to say his closest to kin's name. Donnie doesn't allow pronunciation to go by the wayside by the end of it. If he scores a touchdown, maybe a jersey will end up... 100%. Ben So-and-so, though, is a much better nickname, if we're honest here. Donnie, have you been lining up the props overall for this football game? What else is jumping off to the page?
Props look a lot of fun in this game. Now, also, I'm taking a look at George Kittle. Finally got off the schneid here, as I said, with Stephon Diggs getting a touchdown on Sunday. I think this next guy's going to do it as well. Banged up, not having this productive season that you would wish for. But George Kittle tonight coming in at a plus 170 price here to score an anytime touchdown. I think he's going to be a big player in this game. Obviously, if you have, here's what I always like to talk about the tight ends here, Kevin. Do the Rams have a good defense? Yes. But when you have Jimmy Garoppolo, not the most athletic quarterback, if you have that rush bearing down on you, you're not looking at the 15-yard out, the 40-yard pass downfield. You're saying, oh, my goodness, Aaron Donald's in my face. Who is the closest guy to me? A running back and a tight end. So I do think George Kittle is going to have a major impact in this game. Some of the game specials, which is typical with what we like. Now, there's one that I do have circled here that says, let me read it correctly. Stafford and Garoppolo, 500 yards and 4 touchdowns at plus 210. Like, I circled it, but I'm not sure if it – now that I look at it, the math doesn't make sense here, because I don't know. I think both of the quarterbacks can have big games, but the fact that to combine for 500 yards, I don't know if I see that, Kev. Plus 210, though, if you want to get involved.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you even circle that on the board? It's going to be – he's not even going to bet it, and he knows it's a good wager. Listen, last night. It was minus 105. Now we're checking in at plus 210. I'm pretty sure, first of all, I think Donnie's touchdown score last week in the pick six was George Kittle, which he scored. You also could convince me that Donnie's has George Kittle as a touchdown score every single week that he has been healthy. He just loves himself some George Kittle. The guy finds the end zone. He does get after it, so I'm more than fine with that here. I think this game is just going to be show fun. I mean, the touchdown each quarter is plus 145. I'll tell you listen, and I know Don is going to look at this one here as well. Each team to score a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown, the plus 165 number there is going to make a lot of sense. Stafford to throw for 300 passing yards and the Rams to win, a boost from plus 270 to plus 320 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I'm sure a couple more will enter the fray as that game gets closer. Going to be a really, really fun one to follow. Again, in-play sports tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern start time on Sports Grid Radio. Donnie closes out the early line next.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
Researchers at ETH Zurich and the Swiss Federal Labs for Materials Science are using nanotechnology to coat regular wooden flooring so that when you step on it, it generates electricity. The physics is called the triboelectric effect. Step on an area of floor the size of a sheet of paper nano-coated to generate electricity and light an LED light bulb. Start running around the house and light up your kitchen. Go and invite a troupe of Swiss clog dancers to perform in your living room and generate enough power to light up your whole subdivision. Follow me at @GCapalbo on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information.
This
is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Last segment of the day here for the early line with myself, Donnie Whiteside, and Kevin Walsh, taking it all down, playing armchair quarterback on a Monday. But before we do that, we're also going to hand off in just a few moments here to Ben Stevens and The Morning After, and also co-hosted for the first hour by yours truly. But let's take a look here at the final segment of the day, as always called Listen Up. All right, people, listen up here. It's Monday. Usually we're talking NFL action. You know, my Philadelphia Eagles with a big-time win over the Denver Broncos. Maybe take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs with a dominating performance and back to business as usual after dominating the Las Vegas Raiders. But I want to take a look at the college football landscape and how it added up. Let's take a look on Friday night with the Cincinnati Bearcats picking up a victory. Seemingly all you need to do is an undefeated team to make it into the college football playoff with so many teams out here with one loss. But the importance now of running it up in college football is what you need to do to get teams outside of the Power Five conferences like the Group of Five, Cincinnati Bearcats. You saw on Friday night, yes, we exploded on in-play sports tonight with a W on a team total because Cincinnati scored a touchdown, a meaningless touchdown from midfield here. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the college football landscape, Cincinnati lost a spot in the standings in the AP poll to Alabama, who jumped them to number two. Why? Because they blasted New Mexico. They beat them 59-3, which is exactly what you thought they would do. But from a Cincinnati Bearcats perspective, the fact that you did not win as convincingly as you should have, that dropped you down in the standings here. Look at the past couple of games here for the Cincinnati Bearcats, 45-28 over USF. Tulsa, 28-20. Navy, 27-20. Tulane, 31-12. You have to blitz these teams if you want to get into the college football playoff here, Cincinnati Bearcats. Because you take a look at the rest of the landscape, there's a lot of really good one-loss football teams. And for you to overcome that, you must give the voters a reason to believe Cincinnati. There's still time left. Run teams up the flagpole. Put yourself in the college football conversation. Stay tuned right now for the morning after Ben Stevens from 9 to 12 right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.